morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. And we are heading into a holiday weekend. We'll probably talk about that this morning as well. But in any case, got lots of other things to talk about as usual. Honestly, I guess compared to the churn over the last, well, not only a few weeks, but few months, this was relatively quiet. What we're seeing mostly continue to be things that people should have known, that they've been lied to about, that are finally coming out on a lot of fronts. Anyway, we will continue to talk about those and some other things here coming up. This is Mark Collins, sunny Southern Colorado. Got David Justice online as well. Good morning, David. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Mark. I'm doing great, actually. Adjusting my mental attitude appropriately to deal with the absolute breakdown of what used to be the American Republic, and now it's clearly communist Marxist America. And so it's an interesting time to accept and, you know, let that in and ask questions within the context of how then shall we live?
Yeah.
Resist or...
Come out of her is always my my own take on the whole situation. You know the game is rigged, and so don't play. And I was on that subject, David. I think it's kind of fascinating, and this is not where I intended to start, but kind of sort of it fits. If you recall the time of the Exodus when Moses took all the mixed multitude, 2.5, maybe 3 million people out of bondage in Egypt. They went out into the desert. And there were a whole lot of rules that were given, essentially having to do with keeping a clean camp. So they had come out of a place that was arguably unclean, pagan to the core. And then they're told, okay, I'm going to be in the camp. This is from Yah himself. The cloud by day, fire by night. I'm going to be in the camp. I want the camp to be clean. You got people that are unclean. You put them outside the camp. And the irony is here we are in a place where the whole stinking world is now unclean, and there are some parallels. We need to come out and try to get a clean camp, but we can't very well complain that here we are, we want to kick the unclean people out because that's everybody else. So we need to remember that, I guess, as we look at what's going on today.
Well, you know, if we go back to the book of Genesis, you know, and look at the original mandate given to Adam, to basically conquer and take dominion of earth, replenish, multiply. The idea of Israel coming out of Egypt and I know these laws were designed to establish order and a civility within the order of the tribe of Israel. And inside that is the order that Adam and yet through Yeshua brought to earth, for God so loved order, Father so loved order, that gave his only begotten Son to establish order. And that order is now being broken into chaos. It's being shattered. The sense of truth is first casualty of this war. The information war going on against our minds, they're battling, and the result is chaos. And the chaos is like, I think of the octopus, you know, when he gets cornered, he likes to run away and throw that little jet of ink out there as part of his escape. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a Leviathan spraying ink so that can try and make an escape and, you know, leading us into world war and leading us into places we wouldn't go because their system is collapsing and it will collapse. And so we can expect some very treacherous, manipulative results coming from these people that are trying to hide their crimes, Mark.
I think that's the key. I debated how to work up to it and how to kind of hit all the elements that are coming out. Let me just toss a story or two, and you can pick on any of them you want. Weaponization Committee, this is the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Big Brother, released a riveting report, this was earlier in the week, a couple, 3 days ago now, on the unconstitutional censorship efforts, hey, there's a shocker, by the Department of Octung Homeland Security and this thing called CISA. The cyber surveillance, well, they say cyber security, but basically it's not about cyber security unless it's preventing you from understanding what they're doing to you. And essentially, the letter focuses the report on their work ahead of the 2020 election and the 2022 midterms, where they're basically, they colluded with socialist media, big tech, and government-funded third parties to censor by proxy and to hide all of their unconstitutional activities from the public. Gee, who could have thought it, as if we didn't know it and didn't see it? Go ahead. There are some other ones, too.
Well, they that are in control of the currency. Rothschild said, give me control of a nation's currency, and I don't care who makes the laws. We now have a Federal Reserve note. We talked about this last week. That is the standard in the world, and it's controlled by a private hierarchy, which is why we don't have to do the Sabbath in this context, because we're in a private club, and we're not, we didn't know. And inside this private club, they don't need to adhere to the Constitution. All they need to do is operate, and then eventually, like has been going on this week, the Supreme Court may choose to hear an issue and may not choose. They have the choice, the prerogative to hear or not to hear. But ultimately, the entire reality is shaped around a private, profit monetary scheme, the end of which is total control. And this thing is breaking down. And inside the breaking down, they need to reestablish a new something to sustain control of that breakdown. So we can, we know the way out of this is to honor the Sabbath. We know the way out of this is to forgive debt. The forgiveness of debt is just not on the table. And as a result, we have a monetary system, private, where the deepest pockets that you can imagine, there's no bottom, there's no limit to how much money can be created to cause the total control of the people on the planet. And that is what is breaking down. When that breaks down and they lose control, that will be a day of jubilee. I believe that if we're not honoring the Sabbaths and the Jubilees, that there's a natural law at work that will ultimately cause the liberation. It'll cause the breakdown that ultimately sets us free. But we got to go to chaos to get there. Unfortunately, it's an interesting thing we're dealing with, to say the least. Go ahead, Mark.
And so on that score, let's talk about something. We might as well make sure we get this on the table, because there are lots of warnings. Been seeing these warnings for a long time, essentially saying during the month of June, Pride Month, at the beginning of the month of July, that there are a lot of things that are coming together. Certainly none of them, shocking to regular listeners here or people that are paying attention, like, for example, the rest of the world, not just the BRICS nations, but more and more joining up with them. There are different terms that you'll hear used to describe these consortiums of countries. But pick a country, unless it's once Great Britain and America and a few of the really so-called Western nations that are so deeply in debt to the U.S. that they don't dare speak up. The rest of the world, India, China, South Africa, Russia, all of those that have been hammered that want to get out of the SWIFT system, they have essentially said, we're going to put in place an alternative. The alternative has been built for a number of years, and eventually there'll come a time where they say, and they've been doing this, that's the key, we've seen indicator after indicator, they're going to say, we don't want to play with the fake dollars anymore. We're simply not going to deal with them. We had Saudi Arabia saying, we're going to take other currencies other than the almighty petrodollar. Well, petrodollar's dead. China and Russia particularly don't want to play in that ballpark. But what we have seen now is a move, and there are some pretty high-profile voices saying may very well happen starting July 3rd. And I'll come back to that in just a second. But be aware that eventually there'll come a time where they say, we just want out of the dollar. The dollar will not collapse instantly. It'll take a while. We're already seeing, again, the people abandoning the sinking ship. And the question is, at which point does the Titanic list to the point that the deck is so vertical now you can't move, right? Everybody anybody's seen the movie. You want to get out before that. And I'm going to suggest to folks that if you haven't made some moves to get into alternatives, particularly what the Bible calls real money, silver, you may not have much more time. July 3rd is Monday. And why do I say that's a big deal? Well, again, there are some indicators that that may be a date. Am I predicting a date? No, but I am going to suggest the following. This is a holiday weekend, a lot of time when a lot of people aren't going to be paying attention. The actual real holiday, the July 4th holiday, comes midweek. And so it would be a great time if you were a criminal to say, hey, let's have a banking holiday. Let's shut things down. Or let's just plain do a lot of stuff that we want to get away with when nobody's paying attention. So at the very least, I encourage folks to be aware that there's an exposure coming up here. Again, am I predicting a date? No. But the obvious nature of what's coming has been so clear for a long time that if you haven't already taken action, well, time may be running out. Go ahead, David.
Well, you know, you talked about silver and really any commodity, and particularly something like coffee beans, would be a good thing to to barter and trade during a time of collapse. So there's, you know, the assets, commodities, things of value, tools, you know, that kind of thing. You can't go wrong with acquiring those things because that's how we get through what's coming. There's no way to avoid what's coming. Can't go around it. They've already set it in motion. It's not a question of if. It's a matter of when. And so to be thinking in terms of getting through what's coming to get onto the other side, whatever that looks like. You know, we've been here before, Weimar Republic. All we need to do is, you know, history is replete with examples where the banking system collapses and those that are in charge of it desperately shore it up with another system.
Well,
so here we are again, Mark.
You make a great point with the Weimar Republic because that's a nice example. You know, starting in the early 1920s and going through the 1930s, the early 30s, there were 10 years of hyperinflation. Now, when did massive inflation become superinflation, become hyperinflation? Answer, there was no particular one day where you could say, uh-oh, look, the German mark is worthless. It's just that it was worth less and less and less and less and less and then radically less. And by the time people realize, whoops, we're already so far down the toilet bowl that it's too late, it was too late. So, you know, at what point, you know, if you could hear the flushing sound, and I think the flushing sound has already happened, then you'd say, okay, well, now we need to move. But most people won't. That's kind of the history of human nature. They won't until it's way too late. By the time it's beyond obvious, it will still be better that they moved than that they didn't. But by then, most will say, oh, I've already missed it. And the result, they'll go clear down the toilet. Go ahead.
It's been given to the disciples of Yeshua and the Israelite people to be aware. We are the truth bearer carriers. We are the truth people. If we don't stand in the truth, then, you know, when Yeshua said, you are the light of the world, he's saying you're the truth of the world. When you're the salt of the earth, you're the truth of the world. And if the light goes dark and the salt goes unsalty, it's fit for nothing but to trample underfoot them in. That means that the propaganda, the lies, the world that rose up around the lies, and the system of the world now that we're experiencing that has control of the financial means of buying and selling. And by taking control of that, they are in control of history. They're in control of what we think we know is true. So the people that aren't ready for what's coming, they're not paying attention. They're walking in a powerful delusion. And it's difficult to make the transition out of the delusion because, first of all, it's easier to convince people. It's easier. People are more easily deceived than they are willing to accept that they've been deceived.
That's Mark Twain's famous line. Yeah.
In other words, when they're lied to, they're more apt to believe the lie than to believe someone that told them they were lied to. And so we're watching that gaslighting. We're watching that at work as one of the major weapons of the warfare of the enemy. So, you know, it's important that we come out from among that mindset and walk in the truth and the spirit of our Father and the law and the principles of the gospel. And, you know, it's all there for us if we would just open our eyes and see, Mark.
Okay. Well, again, one of the things that I like to try to do, especially on shows like this one, is to say, let's understand what we can do. And certainly we talk about some of these things every week, so come out of her as an element of that. I think the same thing goes for silver as an alternative. Now, again, I like silver. There are a lot of physical, there are a lot of economic, there are a lot of historic and mining reasons. If you look, for example, at the distribution of the precious metals, gold and silver especially, in the Earth's crust and in mining, the historic ratio has been about 20 to 1, 16 to 1. You know, people will say, oh, it's a little bit higher, a little bit lower. But essentially, throughout most of history, the value of an ounce of silver has been about 1/20th or so, give or take, of the value of an ounce of gold. Well, of late, because of manipulation and other things, the price of gold relative to silver is way out of line. So what does that mean? Well, it means just if you just simply look at old-fashioned what are called ratio traders and stuff, it says there's something likely to happen called regression to the mean. In other words, things will go back to the historic norm. And what that means, even if gold goes up dramatically, that silver has to go up about, what, right now it's closer to 100 to 1 than 20 to 1, has to go up 3 or maybe 5 times or more as much as gold. In other words, you know, the old joke, gold goes into orbit, silver goes to the moon, in order for things to get back to the historic norm. So I would suggest that's where the leverage is. It's also true, the Bible uses the term silver, kasef in the Hebrew, to mean money. And it has been money throughout most of history. Nothing wrong with gold. Gold is a really wonderful metal. Silver also has industrial uses, things like high conductivity, even superconductors based on silver. Most solar panels have a lot of silver in them. So we're going to see a lot of reasons why this makes sense. And one of the claims people say is, well, you know, if the economy breaks down, that might hurt silver. Well, true. But ultimately, if the economy breaks down, people are going to need something to trade. You mentioned coffee. I'm a big fan of coffee. I got a cup sitting right here in front of me. It's wonderful. It's a God's gift in terms of a beverage. It smells great, tastes great. Just love it. And it'll be worth a lot. The trouble is coffee doesn't keep forever, whereas silver tends to, and gold too. Go ahead.
The evidence, in our face evidence, that we're in a private system can be found in the Constitution. The United States Constitution says that in Article 10, Section 8, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. So how do they get around that provision of the Constitution, and how come low lawyer has taken that up to the Supreme Court? That is a taboo subject. Anyone that has tried has failed.
They just won't
hear it. The states are operating with the Federal Reserve notes. Now, I know your audience probably knows that, but let's open up this dialogue. The reason that silver is suppressed is because the silver brokers are selling paper. So people aren't taking delivery of their silver. They have the paper. And the more the paper is printed, it's no different than the Federal Reserve note. The more the Federal Reserve notes that you print, that each one is diminished in value. It's the same with the silver IOUs when people want to buy silver. So they're doing the same thing to silver that they've done to the Federal Reserve note, which is to dilute its value. So until we experience what happened in Weimar Republic and we have the runaway inflation and people demand their silver, it will be when they start demanding the silver rather than the paper, that when they take possession of the silver, that's when the rocket will blast off. And,
well,
we'll see the adjustment.
Yeah, there are lots of terms applied to it. Short squeeze, essentially naked short sales and all that. The bottom line is, and depending upon when you look at this situation, you'll get different answers, and people will come up with different amounts of just how much paper silver has been sold. But I think the best number that I've seen kind of for a long time has been around 100 to 1. In other words, for every ounce of real silver that exists, or particularly, this is one of the reasons why there's variance, particularly if you look at ounces of silver that the COMEX, the CRIMEX, the crooked casinos could actually deliver, There are less of those than there are real ounces that are out there somewhere, but a lot of them people aren't going to sell. So how many are actually available for delivery? Well, any way you slice it, the number is at least 100 to 1. In other words, they've sold, cannot deliver, kind of like the Brooklyn Bridge, they've sold 100 ounces of deliverable of silver for every single ounce that's deliverable. All it takes is just a few people to say, give me the dough, and it's all over. Trouble is, what they do is they prevent that from happening by when it looks like things are getting out of control, they sell more paper. And as long as they can get away with it because the crooks are running the court system, then nobody says, oh, you know, the jig is up. And furthermore, you have a tough time forcing delivery because unless you've got enough money to pay for a huge amount of silver, and they're going to say, you can't afford to ship it, you can't do this. There are lots of ways to prevent people from doing that. But the bottom line is, old Mother Hubbard kind of has to realize the cupboard is bare. The average person simply says, I need to just go out and buy physical silver. That's, by the way, why you'll see that the price of the real stuff that you can hold in your hand is always at least five. Right now and more recently, it's been around $10 an ounce, depending upon whether you're talking silver eagles or American 1964 or earlier coins. But it's at least $10 an ounce more for the real stuff than it is undeliverable paper. Go ahead.
I'd like to comment one just and tie this back to when Israel came out of Egypt and they were told, you know, they were given the law. The law was for the purpose of civilizing the prospering Israel. So the law was given to as a means to an end to prosper so Israel would prosper. The Sabbath was intended to cancel debts and obligations so that private individuals couldn't get so stinkingly rich. Like we have the oligarchs of the world, the Bill Gateses and the Buffetts and the billionaires of the world. They can't get the inequity, the inequality is mitigated when there is a system of debt cancellation. And I think that by having removed the Sabbath and by looking the other way relative to the cancellation of debt and the 50-year jubilee, we're experiencing the result of the failure to have a monetary system that was scripturally based and intended to secure order in a society. I think it's very axiomatic. And what they did to get around, you know, to provide a little relief valve is they opened up the bankruptcy court. So now people can go and declare bankruptcy. Well, that's inside the private monetary system. Again, if a nation wants to prosper, there are laws in Deuteronomy. There are fiscal laws and and this is one thing that is a real laugher relative to Christianity to suggest that we've been relieved of the law when it comes to cancellation of debt. You know, that's an abomination for a Christian institution to not only turn a blind eye to that most important principle of sound weights and measures, but to promote it and then to thrive inside that environment. And so we've got a real serious problem when the light of the world, a so-called church, is buying into a private system and completely disregarding the law, the principles of finance and security, Mark.
Yeah, I guess I can't argue with any of that. So the fact that the system is a stinking fetid mess, that it's absolutely an abomination, the more we recognize it, the more we realize, okay, I'm not going to fix it. We can talk about it, and we should talk about it. It's important people understand it. We're coming up on the Independence Day weekend when we need to understand and talk about those kind of things. But ultimately, the real issue is what can I as an individual do? I can come out. I can simply say I'm not going to play the crooked game anymore and I'm not going to participate. And that at least is something that has a real effect. Does it matter? Yeah, if enough people do it, it'll bring the system down. But you know what? The system's coming down anyway. At the very least, you can say to yourself, well, it might not be the nicest thing for my neighbor for me to escape and leave him in the lurch. Okay, well, then tell him. But if he won't listen, get out, save yourself, and don't worry about it, right? There comes a time to wipe the dust off your feet as a witness against him and move on. Maybe not much time at all. So we'll leave it there. We'll pick it up after the bottom of the hour. All right, welcome back, folks. Second segment now of the Drive Time Friday show. And because this is a bit different week, certainly it's a special week coming up to a time that so many Americans have forgotten. This is a little bit different show. We had the usual slowdown, a lot of stories that no doubt will be really important after the fact, especially if the economy melts down over the weekend and there's a banking holiday declared or some international event that causes a meltdown that Big Brother doesn't want the American peons to know about. Well, that'll come out in time. But for the meanwhile, there are so many things going on right now that ultimately we have seen and understand. But this is a time to sit back, I think, and reflect and talk about some of the other stuff. So that's what we're going to do. Anyway, let me turn it back over to David. You were mentioning this idea, and this is not new either. We've known about it. The whole system of law is private law. And that was when I spoke. A lot of folks that listen to the Come Out of Her Man People show know. Yesterday, Brent Winters, the common lawyer, was on the Come Out of Her My People show, and that's been Brent's thing for a long time. Common law is unique to essentially the English-speaking communities. Most of the rest of the world does not share this idea that the king is not above the law. The divine right of kings, which is at least a part of English history, says, no, the king is above the law. He has a divine right to do anything he blankety-blank-and-well wants. He can kill you peons. Off with his head. But that is not the way that it was supposed to be. That's not what Scripture says. And that's therefore why they don't like it and they want to change it and so forth. But the thing that we've seen in America has been a battle against the common law, against those things that are literally ensconced in the Constitution. And that's why the Declaration is so important. It essentially not only establishes that the common law is the basis and all of those things that were considered self-evident truths are important, but we've seen this battle against it ever since. The Uniform Commercial Code, the Roman Civil Law, various things that they got different names. The Babylonian Code, the Napoleonic Code, but they all have the same, well, they evince the same despotic intent, is the way the founders put it, to reduce us under absolute despotism or tyranny. And we're almost there. And if we don't understand that, we'll be there sooner than most folks would like to admit. Anyway, take us where you'd like, David.
Well, you mentioned a couple of things I'm going to really emphasize. You know, when we say private law, what do we actually mean by that? Private law, and I'm gonna say, commercial law, Uniform Commercial Code. There's a ways and means by which things are bought and sold. And the commercial law has developed to the end of controlling the private currency within the commercial system. And that commercial system is private law because you have to operate within the commercial code to do buying and selling. The Declaration of Independence is the document, and we're celebrating the July 4th here coming up soon. It is the document, like you said, that it broke what Western European culture understood as the divine right of the king. The king can do anything he wants to because he's the king and God gave him the right to do it. Well, and it also gave the church, so-called, the institutional Catholic Church, the Church of England, the power to murder people that didn't agree with it. And because the church and the state were one back in the day, it was an act of treason to violate any of the church's policies or doctrines. Now, a doctrine is not truth. A doctrine is a perspective about truth. And the Catholic Church is full of these doctrines. But these doctrines became the subjective, absolute truth back in the day. And inside that, the church then sanctioned the king, and anything the king did was also a doctrine, and that doctrine, one among those doctrines, was the divine right of kings. Well, that was shattered again, coming back around to the Declaration of Independence, when the King of England and Parliament were indicted for tyrannical acts that violated the laws of natural law. They call it the law of nature and nature's God, the natural law, and the law contained in Scripture. All of those were being disregarded, a lot like today. And so the Pilgrims and the Separatists, as distinguished from the Puritans who thought they could stay back in England and purify the church from within. Oh, we'll just work within the system and see if we can, you know, evolve it and, you know, push beyond this. Well, they found out real quick how much the church and the state were into beheadings back in the day. So they accomplished their agenda by killing, by murdering the very people they claimed to represent. Okay, so anyway, fast forward to the Declaration of Independence, and this is where the woke community doesn't get it. They don't understand the ultra-left, and even and for the most part, some of the rhinos, they don't get it either, that the foundation of American jurisprudence, American law, is the principles of the natural law, the principles of Scripture, and all of that was brought together in several statements made within the Declaration of Independence that were held to be self-evident truth. And when a government ceases to function to the end of securing those self-evident truths and the rights that are inherent in our relationship with our Father inside the self-evident truths of our Father's kingdom, then we have a duty. It says this, the Declaration of Independence established the bases against which to measure government conduct. And when the government ceases to function to the end it was established to secure, the people have a right to alter or abolish that government. And you'll find that principle in the Colorado Constitution and other constitutions because the people in the context of the government are sovereign. So the divine right of kings was broken from an individual and it was redistributed to the body of people, the e pluribus unum, the many as one, and we had this covenant thing going with our Father, and this was as close to the gospel. I mean, it was the gospel, it was the kingdom written into the Declaration of Independence, and that covenant is what is missing. It's not taught in our schools. It's not taught in our churches. It's not taught. And so the people have been hypnotized, some people like to call it brainwashing, into believe that the Declaration of Independence is not relevant because it's an old antiquated document. We can celebrate it with fireworks, but it doesn't have any real teeth, which is an absolute lie. Because the only way you can completely understand the Constitution and the constitutions of the states is to read them through the lens of the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely.
When the government ceases to function, and then I'll sum up here. Not only do we have the right to alter and abolish a government that ceases to function to the end it was established to secure, the Declaration of Independence specifically says, and I quote, "Governments long established shall not be changed for light and transient causes. And all experience has shown that mankind is more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form of government to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, the people have a duty to throw off that government." And how do we execute that duty? And what does it look like? And this is what we're faced with today, because we can see that a long train of abuses and usurpations has occurred. So we have standing as people to throw off the government, but now we're walking in this really subjective, dangerous area. Because like the French Revolution, it could be a total disaster if we actually executed on that duty.
Yeah, almost certainly will be, as a matter of fact.
So inside, and so this is what we're celebrating, people. This nation is founded on the principle that our Father and His Son, Yeshua, our King, and we the people are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we are the one nation under God, all right? That's where that phraseology comes from. We are the kingdom in covenant with the Father. Okay, so what we can, and I'll yield right after this. to the degree that we don't understand that covenant, to the degree that we've walked away from that covenant, to the degree that we are no longer in touch, and you said it earlier in the show, or is we're distracted from what is true, and so that they can write laws and get away with murder, and they can get away with violating the Sabbath because we don't understand who we are in the relationship to our Father. Churches aren't really teaching it. Oh, they're teaching us to get ready to die and go to heaven, but they don't understand the political ramifications of the gospel and how that came to fruition when the divine right of kings was thrown off and the people became fully empowered in their capacity as co-sovereigns with Christ to the throne. And that's the missing ingredient in America. And so, to the degree that we're not walking in that is the degree that we're walking in rebellion to that. And inside the rebellion to that, we're bringing all these things upon ourselves. And the people that are actually passing the laws, they're getting away with it because they've legalized, they've weaponized the law and turned it against us. And as long as we don't look back at that covenant and reestablishing that covenant of the true one nation under God and the realization that the people are sovereign and we have a duty to throw off the government, and until we start operating in that mindset and in that realm, then all we're doing is we're wasting our time, and we're not going to get anywhere. Again, until we revisit the fundamental principles of covenant relationship with our Father, Mark.
Okay, well, I agree with virtually everything you've said, and I think part of the problem is people listen and they think, oh, that's so hard. There's so much there, it's never going to happen. And the answer is, lots of things that almost sound trivial because they're so obvious. But come out of her starts with one individual saying, I'm just not going to play the crooked game anymore. Yes, I can talk to my neighbor. Yes, I should. But ultimately, if I can't just do it myself and buy my fruit, show the way I'm willing to walk, then I got nothing to offer. So the comment I would make is this. You said something that really resonated with me. It's a caution that I've thrown out many times over the years. If there was to be a revolution this weekend, David, if the American people were going to rise up and they were to say, we've had it with the Biden Fuhrer. We've had it with the criminals. We've had it with the crooks, with the one set of rules for thee and another for me, and how Hunter can get away with literal murder and whoring and crack and stuff, tax violations. Well, he's violating the same private laws. Why does he have a right under private law to have a pistol that the average peon, because he's a slave of the state, doesn't? Well, that ought to tell you a lot of stuff, but the problem is the following, and this is the reason why I think it's this is where I was headed. If this revolution was to happen this weekend as a result of that, well, guess what? It ends up looking a lot more like the French Revolution than the 1776 Revolution. And therein lies the rub. Unless people understand, unless they accept that those truths are self-evident, they were written in Scripture for us, and we need to understand, you know, if I believe that the fuzzy-wuzzy Jesus who did away with the law is going to come and say, hey, we love everybody, let's have our little rainbow flags and cut the genitalia off little boys and little girls because of our love and our desire to make sure that they all have the proper health treatment before they even know what those things are cutting off or for. I mean, you know, this is so asinine, so ridiculous, so stupid. It is designed to end in the total failure that we're going to see. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so here's what happened. Okay, so the Declaration of Independence was drying, or after dried, there was immediately a plan into place of disinformation and damage control by the monetary powers of the world. Rile arose from his death and resurrection. During that, right after that, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the religious organizations and system of the day, they went into damage control to suppress the truth of his message, the truth of his gospel. So we always have these negative forces working against the truth by inserting their little propaganda, their little spin, their subjective reality to maintain control. Okay, so the Declaration of Independence is a spiritual document. It is not a material document. We over the course of the origins of America, have gotten steeped in material materialism, and it's all about stuff. And see, we can't comprehend a spiritual reality because we've walked in a material reality for so long. It seems crazy to talk about a spiritual reality. Can you imagine though? Let me give you an example. Nikola Tesla, back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, came up with power that you could derive from the ether. It's an endless source of power. If that had been not suppressed by J.P. Morgan and the other people that didn't want that technology out, where would we be now, 100 years later, with that free energy that the so-called green people are saying that's really what they're championing, but we don't want to talk about Nikola Tesla. Oh, no, 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 no. So there's the lie. It's all BS. It's all BS. If America was walking in a spiritual, we would be in a very different place. Like just like with Nikola Tesla, we'd be in a very different place if we exercise the principles that we know to be true. If the people that we elected into positions of servitude, not leadership, because there are public servants, if they weren't all in there for themselves, and it wasn't all about making money and empowering a system of a corporate private system where they have total control over every material thing on the planet, that's what happened, and that's why we have a hard time comprehending what are we talking about here, a spiritual reality.
Okay.
And that spiritual reality, Mark, that's the kingdom of heaven, and that's what we're missing.
Well, I agree with that, David, but the trouble is I think a lot of people tend to lose it when we start talking about spiritual realities and say, oh, yeah, we'll spiritualize it. It's all wonderful. It's warm and fuzzy. And the problem is the following. I mean, to take it back to this is a spiritual reality, but it's a little bit more blunt. There really is a force for evil. Over the years, I've had lots of discussion with friends that were libertarians, that were very into the non-aggression principle, and they would recognize that there really does seem to be this force for evil. But I always, I point out to them, it's funny to me, you do not believe in God. They were a lot of them self-professed atheists, but they really do believe in a unifying force for evil. They don't believe that these people have to get together in a smoke-filled room in the back alleys or in the power centers of the world to accomplish these things, but they do believe in evil, but they won't accept the reality that there is a force for good. In other words, that there is a creator. He wrote a book for us. So we got that issue, but they also, many of them would accept something that most Americans won't, and it boils down to this. These people, we saw Anthony Fauci this week going to Georgetown University. We've seen so many examples, the Biden Fuhrer and others. They want you dead. They want to cut the breasts off little girls. They want to abuse them first and then wad them up, throw them away and use them. They like the idea of killing them and getting their jollies that way, but they don't want them to reproduce. They want America dead. They want to destroy energy independence. The reason why we don't have Tesla technology is the same reason we don't have natural gas. They don't want the peons to be able to drive a car, to travel, to live, to have food. And once people get it through their heads that the real issue is just a lot more simple. This force for evil not only hates human beings, they hate those that are created in his image, they are willing to do anything. And I mean anything, right? Yeshua says, the bad guy, the adversary, he comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. They're greedy. Yes, they have all these desires. They lust in the flesh. That ain't the problem. They literally, they're jonesing for death. They get their thrills from death. So what we have to recognize is, ultimately, it's a lot more simple than at least part of the way the spiritual battle is explained to folks. And once they realize they will do whatever it takes to kill you, then a lot of stuff makes sense. You know, you mentioned Tesla technology and how that would revolutionize the world. Ultimately, I think it goes back to the same thing we were talking about at the beginning, this divine right of kings. The divine right of kings says, I, the king, I have blue blood. I am the one who really matters. Off with your head. You don't. If I want to let you live because you make a great slave or a servant, or you can cross my palm with silver or feed me grapes while I lie on my dais, fine. But if I want you dead, you're nothing more than an ant to me. This is the very attitude. This, David, literally, when you strip away all the goody-two-shoes philosophy, this is where we're at. It is a battle that dates back to Genesis 3 between those who are literally like God, and you will not die, and the peons. And the peons, as far as they're concerned, don't have a right to live. They don't have a right to vote. You know, it's the one that counts the votes. You don't have a right to freedom of assembly, of worship, of speech. For crying out loud, don't think about keeping and bear arms. And so ultimately, back to the Declaration, then I'll turn it over to you, and we got about 2 minutes, take us out. But ultimately, I think the important thing for folks to focus on during this time of celebrating that document is what a revolutionary thing it was for people to unanimously agree that there are these self-evident truths, that there is a God, that he gave you, me, all of us, rights that come from him to life, liberty, to property, the pursuit of happiness, and that the only legitimate government rests on the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of those ends, the divine right of kings, we're going to kill you peons, they have a right, and as you pointed out, a duty to alter or abolish it. And the only way that such a revolution is ever going to work, the only way it did in human history, the one we saw in 1776, was when people say, the real creator, the real king, the real master, divine providence, the thing that is essentially driving us all in the right direction here is our obedience to the one true God, not the fake of men. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, a lot of people have gone to church, and the churches had a certain way of teaching, and I believe that the influence of the satanic influence of the institution filtered into the church, and the church,
it's a whore church,
twisted the gospel into a subjective mythology. So this subjective myth has its origins in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a subjective perspective projected onto the scripture, and people are lost in the dogma of the doctrine of the Catholic Church and all of the little whore churches, the Catholic being the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So people are having a, I think, distinguishing what a spiritual reality actually looks like, because the church itself has a hard time distinguishing what a spiritual reality looks like.
Let me be a bit more blunt, David, because you know I appreciate the church, but the trouble is the whore church is in fact a whore. One of the things that I think isn't taught in Sun God Day school, and the reason for it is clear, is Jeremiah chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 23. There were two kingdoms, northern and southern, the whore church and the whore synagogue. Both departed from him, both went into idolatry, to wickedness, both got cast out. They got sent away because they were whoring, and they still are. And they're still in exile. And so when I hear people talk about the one true church, the trouble is the one true church is a whore. Let's be honest. You can read the end of the book in Revelation and see Sun God Day. The whole concept of, hey, let's go with Constantine. He might not persecute us so much anymore. If we'll just get rid of that God of the Bible and worship him on Sun God Day. We have to get rid of a lot of baggage. And now's the time to start. Hey, thanks, folks. Shabbat shalom.